If you want to do more online quicker, PlusNet can help you out. Unlimited fibre broadband from just £5 a month for 18 months when you take £17.99 monthly line rental.
It's beautiful.
So Dad can watch his film while Mum streams the match.
Get in! Yes!
Super fast fibre broadband from just £5 a month. Offer ends 30th of October. Visit plus.net now. PlusNet will do you proud. Prices may change. 18-month contract, new customers in low-cost areas only. Otherwise, £12.50 a month. Traffic prioritisation applies. See plus.net/traffic. £6.99 route of delivery terms apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Paolo and Footloose. How are you boys doing?
Excellent. I'm all great.
Wonderful morning.
You're all great cup this week.
All great cuppy.
All great cuppy. Yeah, you're thinking about it.
Yeah. Actually, for I can't grow a mustache. Like it would look like a soccer game. There's like 11 hairs on each side, and 11 of them are brown, and 11 are white. So I can't do Movember. So I'm actually doing Backvember, and I'm thinking at the end of Backvember, I'm going to shave the gray cup into my back. I think that would be so cool.
I mean, I could think of one member of your family that I've met that probably isn't going to be thrilled with that. But if that's what you want to do,
I think the diva would accept that. I think she'd embrace it.
I don't know. I think you better ask again.
She'd embrace it. Would she embrace you? I think probably not.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation now. So, we are going to discuss playoff games. Playoffs?
Yeah.
This is now playoffs. This is getting serious. Why don't you break it down for us there, Footloose?
Well, and Paul will jump in, but, start with the Eastern Final. What a crazy wind to start with. Did you see the clip of Brett Maher trying to kick field goals into the wind in the pregame? The wind was about 60 miles an hour, and he's at the 32-yard line trying practicing extra points. The ball goes straight up and literally just blew out of bounds before it even crossed the goal line. Like, it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. So when you
it's actually the only adversity really kickers can face, other than someone actually hitting them. This is big adversity for a kicker.
Well,
it's
difficult. I mean, but the wind played such a
factor.
The
whole game is difficult. You know, guys are trying to take off other guys' head, and you're like, "Oh, the wind! Wow." Okay.
I wasn't saying that way. I was just saying that it was ridiculous to see. And, you know, when you're talking about putting points on the board, that's a huge factor that I think when you practice and train year round for. All of a sudden this gets thrown at you and I mean, you know, it's not just the kickers, the quarterbacks having to throw a ball through that wind.
Sure.
There were more touchdowns scored into the wind in that game than against because John White from Edmonton just ran through, behind his offensive line, just ran through the Hamilton defense. And then in the fourth quarter, CJ Gable, running into the wind for Hamilton did the same thing.
No, and that's good. I mean, that's overcoming. You know, again, here's my thinking. If it comes down to me relying on my kicker, just ask the Buffalo Bills how that's worked out. I mean, you know.
ask the New England Patriots how it worked out when they had Adam Vinatieri. You know, like, you know, it works both ways.
He's still going.
You can still go as a kicker. That's the point. You could. I'm trying to think. George Bland, 46, 50, something in that range.
100.
Sorry, fella. 100.
Yeah, no, he was old.
Enough of kickers. What about the interception late in the fourth quarter that Zach Caleros threw? He threw into literally three green jerseys. There wasn't a receiver near him, and that was just a punch in the stomach to Hamilton fans. Like, wow, what a blow to end the season because they had that game won. What do you think, Paulo?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, tale of two halves, like we don't see very often, but we have seen pretty regularly this year from Hamilton. right? They come out, they have a first half where they don't show you a thing, and yeah, that second half they were rolling. That was their game to win. You know, what was the sequence of events there? I think there was a roughing the passer call, or there was a holding call, and what Hamilton fans thought was a roughing the passer call. They challenge, it doesn't go their way, so they get backed up into their own end, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the very next play was that interception, and yeah, that was not, you know, it's the most trite thing, but that's one you think pretty sure Caleros would like to have back.
It's probably
no doubt
pressure,
about it, but,
you know, that's just pressure when it gets to you. Just you maybe just didn't see that happening as it was, you know, that's just, I've seen that happen in so many sports, but it just sounds like it's a pressure thing.
If you look at that play, and again, I mean, when you look at Hamilton, it's like, there's the controversial call before, should it have been pass interference? A lot of people say yes, or should have been roughing the passer? A lot will say yes. The next play, their season ends, and the exact same thing happened last year. They had that play where Gascon Adon dartboarded it. The middle linebacker went right off his chest onto the ground, and then Ottawa scores that miracle touchdown the next play. But when you look at that pass, like I went back and I rewound it and rewound it and rewound it about 12 times. If your slot is running a slant, okay, he's got to read whether to go underneath the guy's dropping back or whether to go over. Now Edmonton's playing a cover two, so he's trying to go in behind the linebackers. The linebackers drop back, and there were three guys between he and Caleros, and Caleros has to make that read on which way his receiver is going to cut, depending on the coverage. And there was a big miscommunication there, and yeah, he would love to have that one back.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
It is a shame.
It happens.
Yeah, it does happen. You know, maybe it's a bit of a, I wouldn't say cherry on top, but indicative of the season that Hamilton had, the season that Caleros had overall. Just, you know, missed opportunities, missed reads. You know, I don't think there's any question. I mean, we've talked about it most of the year that Hamilton should have been the class of the East. But they really just didn't perform. And, you know, I mean, it's Caleros. It's a guy coming back from a serious knee injury. I mean, you never know what
didn't
that guy's going to look like.
And look at the receiving core was decimated. I mean,
that's true. That's true.
You know, they're missing a lot of talent. They're missing Chad Owens. He's a playmaker, and they're missing other guys. They're missing Tasker. They're missing a lot of guys.
Yeah. They do. All right. So before we get to the next game, please explain to me, and I feel that ESPN started this, and now TSN is going along with it, and it's just
stupid. Is this another
time
zone thing?
Nope. We're over the time zone thing for now. Nobody will ever get over it. It was
now.
Even a talk at a hockey game recently. We were talking time zones, and I didn't start it. But I just want to say, why in the world do you put the pregame, postgame guys outside? Nobody wants to watch these guys get cold. It's just an uncomfortable thing to watch. The guys aren't happy. It doesn't make sense.
You know what the worst is when it's like about minus 30 and there's a guy outside. And when you're outside for minus 30, you usually get snot gurgling out of your nose. And there's nothing, you know, how are these guys going to go in the air with big balls of snot hanging out? Like just, it's nasty, you know. They should be inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's a technical term, but it's good that you bring it up. And you're right. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I refereed a game last year. It was like minus 10, and it's like, you know, we all go in, stand over the ball when there's a timeout and chat about, you know, stuff. And you know, like whether our wives are coming to the banquet at the end of the year, you know, important things during a football game. And it's like, I'm looking at two of the guys have like big balls of snot hanging out of their nose. And it's like, man, you know, why don't we move this into a dome? We got enough of those bubble domes around the city, you know? So anyway,
I like the sideline reporter. I want to see somebody.
No, this is not the sideline reporter. This is the whole crew before the game, doing the pregame and the postgame. The sideline reporter, hey, that's the job. I'm not as upset about that. I'm upset about the crew that they just have of like the four experts outside. Why?
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, at the Grey Cup, I remember in Winnipeg last year, walking by the TSN, the TSN booth. Those guys are outside for about 8 seconds. I mean, really, they're in these $800 parkas, keeping warm whenever they are outside, you know, for those 2 minutes to do their little spot. And then they go into their nice, you know, nice little chalet and warm up. They probably have a sauna.
Oh yeah, you
in
think
there.
You could do that? Why don't you tweet that to Gary Lawless? Tell him how pampered he is, and see if you could do that. Is that what you're
Gary
saying?
Gary Lawless, good guy, good guy. Yeah, yeah, they can manage. I mean, come on.
Okay.
And hey, if the snow falls, you know, if the snow falls, we want to see that snow falling during playoffs at the desk.
Right, because
you want to
see it falling on guys working outside with equipment. Like, you want to see it on the field. You don't. It doesn't matter about the guys bringing you the game. All right. So
if it's 20 below in the Grey Cup and Milt Stegall dares Matt Dunnigan to lick the goalpost, do you think he would?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I think he would.
I think Dunnigan would do it, absolutely. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
He's a gamer.
Yeah, there's no question he would. All right, so Winnipeg, B.C. All right, I didn't see the game. I'm going to start to watch this week, though. This weekend was bad. I had too many things going on. But here's the thing. Winnipeg just seems doomed in every sport to ever win a championship. Like, other than, you know, if you want to go back to the WHA, that's great, because I know everybody does. But since then, like, what is it? Now they lose by a point.
When's the last Bombers Grey Cup? I think it was 90 that they won.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the longest drought in the league, for sure. they're the last team to – yeah, they haven't made it to a Grey Cup in I think it's at least 20 years now.
But
you
look at that team. They started out 1-4. They made that amazing trade where they fleeced Toronto and they got TJ Heath. They're going to end up with a high draft pick out of it too, and they really turned things around.
Doesn't make anybody feel better today. Like, it's just, you know.
Well, no. I mean, you've got two great teams that are evenly matched, and Winnipeg was up. You know, they're up by 3 touchdowns at one point in the game, and the game just slid away from them.
Well, that's the problem. See, that's where you feel like garbage the next day. Nobody cares about the booby prize. Nobody cares about, hey, you were just lucky to get there. You're up by 3 touchdowns.
So is the season a disappointment for them because they didn't win that game, or is the season a success because they turned their season around and Shea is a legitimate Coach of the Year candidate for it?
Bitter disappointment. When you, as a fan, when your team loses a game like that, and trust me, as a Jet fan, I've been there, bitter disappointment. You will think about that game for a very long time. How did they blow the lead? It's the worst feeling in the world as a fan.
And the other thing, too, is this is the call that I didn't agree with that O'Shea made. You're 3rd and 4 at the 53-yard line, and
right.
And it's like, you know, there's enough time for 2 plays left. And it's like, do you roll the dice and try to throw a quick out and get a 5-yard gain for first down, or do you go on and try a 60-yard field goal? And they've got Justin Medlock. They tried a 60-yard field goal. He came up short, and they lost. And I was really surprised they didn't try to win one more play and give him another 5 yards.
Makes sense.
Put him at 55, I think you've got a more than 50% shot, but at 60, I don't know.
But what 53-yard line? Is this like a new thing? Where is there a 53-yard line?
Oh, my God, Russ.
Oh, Russ.
Come on. I thought there
was
just...
It's on Twitter.
I didn't realize you actually had a 53-yard line, and I've watched games. Okay, never mind. We'll move on.
I mean, well, you know, before we move on, yeah, I mean, how can Winnipeg not look at this as a successful season? I mean, the expectations were not that high. They've been bad for a few years. Yeah, obviously this hurts. Anytime you lose and blow a lead, it's going to hurt. But, you know, when you take a couple steps back, you give yourself a week or two to decompress. I mean, there's no doubt. It's a it's a very impressive season. They're a team, you know, they're going to be a factor in the West, it looks like, for the foreseeable future. Looks like they have people that are running football ops, running football ops there now. I mean, not making a mess of things like they have for the last decade or so. So they're on the right track. Obviously, that hurts.
So, Paolo, you foresee people in Winnipeg on New Year's Eve toasting the team and the great season? Do you foresee that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they do in Winnipeg, but sure, if that's what they do, yeah, sure.
They're not going to do that. They're going to pour one out. They're going to be like, oh, my God, I really hope the Jets can make the playoffs now because we need something here. It's bitterly cold. Our football team blew it. We need something. They do.
Winnipeg's a great city. But Footloose, to call that field goal, to just say he came up short is, I think, being very, very friendly to Medlock. He wasn't even close.
Yeah, he dropped it at the 10-yard line.
Yeah, 10-yard
line. Is there a 63-yard line?
In Newfoundland, there is because the game there's like the field is a half hour longer in Newfoundland.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, they have that.
That makes sense to me.
Russ, the thing that would really blow your mind is when I played in high school, there was one of the fields in our league that instead of having a 110-yard field, they had a 100-meter field. So center field was the 50-meter line instead of the 50-yard line or 55-yard line. And
like
it's
funny. I knew there was a 110-yard field, but it just never came in my mind until you said it that there was a 53-yard line. It just sounded funny, that's all. But so did they play prevent defense? Do they play prevent in the CFL? Like, what really made them lose this lead? Because, you know, you had to take your foot off the gas a little bit.
Well, yeah, I think you're going up against one of the premier teams in the league. I mean, BC Lions are a great football team. You've got Emmanuel Arsenault. You've got Jonathan Jennings, who's a great quarterback. You've got, you've got a dangerous guy in Chris Rainey. You know, they're just a great football team, and you can't hold on to a lead forever with that team. They're too explosive. And speaking of explosive, let's talk about the Manny Arsenault.
I think you're going a different direction. That's good. All right.
Well, no, it's part of it because we're talking about the explosiveness at BC, but Emmanuel Arsenault, their top receiver, got knocked out cold on a hit by Taylor Loeffler in the end zone. And that was one of the ugliest hits I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know, there's no way he's going to be playing. In fact, they've showed clips of his helmet being dented on the play. It was a head-to-head. It knocked him out unconscious on the field. And, hopefully he'll be okay, more than a week or two.
Eagles game a week ago. Jordan Matthews got hit like that, and nothing happened, no call, and they had to replace his helmet. And so, yeah, these guys sometimes are taking just crazy, crazy hits.
Yeah.
If anyone listening hasn't seen the hit, YouTube it, because it is one of
trying to YouTube it, and I see Josh Cribbs getting knocked out back in 2012. Like, that's one of the first things that comes up, unfortunately.
It was a violent, violent hit, and I couldn't believe there was there's no suspension on that hit. Like, it was just nuts. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. BC has Arsenault out of the game, but they've got enough depth to keep coming with it.
Now, was he penalized on that play, Footloose?
What's that?
Did he actually end up? Did Loeffler end up taking a penalty on that?
There was an unnecessary roughness penalty on that. Loeffler actually, protested the penalty, but I think when he goes back and sees the replay, he's going to be like, oh, geez,
Well, at least the refs weren't blind. That's good.
Yeah.
No, I ask because, I know there were guys on the broadcast, the TSN broadcast crew, talking about how they thought, it's a big contact. Obviously, you don't want to see anybody get hurt, but they thought it was on the clean side. So, I don't know. I think I'm probably with you on player safety and whatnot, but it is funny. To see how bad the hit was, you still had guys saying, that looks like a football play to me. So it's such a thin line.
The ball had gone by, and the receiver's in a vulnerable position, and he teed off on him. And I mean, if he catches the ball and he tees off on him, it's a different discussion. I think where he got knocked unconscious from watching it was not the hit to the head, but his head hitting the ground. But again, it was pretty ugly.
Yeah.
All right. So question for you guys. Well, go ahead, Paolo, if you had something else to add.
Only that Loeffler. I mean, again, you don't want to see a hit like that. But, what a player Winnipeg has in this guy. I mean, he's pretty scary up there. I mean, he obviously hits like a freight train. And this is, again, this is not a great example, but maybe not a great example. But they do, they have found themselves a heck of a guy. He was pretty impressive in the, in the last couple games of the season. And I think he had a pretty good semifinal overall, did he not?
Oh, he was all over the place. He was a beast.
Yeah.
All right. So a story that sort of developed in the NFL, I think, is worthy of talking about, and that's the Dak Prescott, Tony Romo situation. So for weeks, Jerry Jones has literally been tap dancing. Well, what are you going to do when Tony Romo comes back? Well, we'll see what happens. It's Tony's team. And then, that was like 5 weeks ago. And then it's like, Tony's getting better when he's ready. We'll see what happens. He's still the number one here, and yada, yada, yada. Now we fast forward to this week, and Tony's out. Like, and he has this thing where, little press conference where he says, yeah, it's Dak's team, and I'm not going to mess it up. And I think that's great. And I think it's almost like I almost get the feeling if Tony Romo didn't do that, that the Cowboys still may have put him in and taken out a quarterback who could possibly lead them to the Super Bowl. What's your guys' take on it over where you are? I'm sure you've seen a little bit about it.
I think that Tony Romo took the high road, and I think he did the right thing. And you know, you watch the Cowboys games, and he's always on the sideline, going over stuff with Prescott, helping him as much as he can. They're teammates. They're consummate teammates. Of course, Romo wants to play, and of course he's frustrated. But, he is not a guy that, he has a little more class than to stand up and create a controversy about it. And I think that the other thing is he needs to come out and publicly say those things so that it just takes the pressure off Prescott. It's like, okay, that's been addressed. It's done. There's no controversy. And you know what? He's a guy. He's in the same situation Trevor Harris has been in this year. It's like, okay, you're a star player, but you've just got to be prepared in case your opportunity comes. And that's what he's going to do.
Except he has 18 million reasons to sort of be a good guy, where Trevor Harris, I'm sure, is making 1/100th of that.
Yeah, but the thing is it's Dak Prescott's team, but this is going to end is where does Tony Romo end up next year, because they're not going to keep a backup quarterback around. But you do know that as soon as they trade Tony Romo or whatever happens, that's when Dak Prescott goes down with a high ankle sprain or something, and then we're back to square one. So I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma.
So 14 million of it can be traded, 10.7 stays with the Cowboys. So somebody has to pay $14 million for Tony Romo. I can only think of one team dumb enough to do that. That'd probably be the New York Jets. What do you think, Paolo?
Denver might.
I think he's going to look real good in green and white, absolutely.
Yeah, like Brett Favre, right? Yeah.
Well, Dallas has Mark Sanchez,
that worked.
So
that worked
an
out
even,
well.
That's an even
– It's a good trade.
It worked out. All right. So the Brett Favre thing, I was completely against it because I like Chad Pennington. But then when he went I want to say he had something like 5-2, I was like, okay, maybe Brett Favre can really do this. And then we find out that he literally throws out his arm 1 week and never tells the team, and then they start losing, mm-hmm. losing. And it's like, ugh. And the guy played hurt. So I can't imagine Tony Romo is going to go through anything other than that. I don't know. Denver's desperate, Footloose, but I don't know if they'll spend that kind of money.
It's a short-term fix.
Yeah. It is.
Does Dallas not have the ability to just part ways? I mean, obviously they're going to owe him some money. There'll be some money guaranteed, but
10.7 stays.
If they
the
buy
cap.
Him out, they only get $5 million relief off the cap hit.
Yeah, so it's not worth it. They got to trade him.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I mean, on the flip side, you know, for the down the stretch to have Romo as your number two, I mean, just in case, you know, stakes get raised.
Oh, that's good.
And,
I mean,
yeah,
there's no doubt. I mean, I'm a fan of Tony Romo and what he's able to sort of pull off in games. At times you look at some of these throws and he will be healthy. So like, yeah, if it's all of a sudden he's got to come in and I don't know, the NFC championship game, it's not a bad thing. He's like, I would say that's, you know, we'll quote an old man replacement here, but that would be like better than Don Strock coming in, right? Right, Footloose?
Yeah. Mind you, Don Strock orchestrating. Don Strock was the quarterback for the most famous hook and ladder in NFL history in that San Diego playoff game.
Oh, yeah. You're right. All right, so speaking of history, Grey Cup history, other than the Grey Cup history back in Toronto when we did the pregame show and then covered the game. That was historic. That was for a lot of different reasons. That song was still in my head after I left. Do they still do that song, Footloose? And what else can we expect coming down the pike?
Well, it's going to be a great time and a great party. I was going to give you a couple of little Grey Cup history tidbits.
Yes.
Okay. The first one, the first point ever scored in Grey Cup history was a rouge by Hugh Gall of the University of Toronto. University of Toronto were playing Parkside in the first ever Grey Cup game, and or Parkdale, not Parkside. And he kicked a rouge. Now the great thing is that 1909 Grey Cup game.
Can you explain that for the you know, the less fortunate like me who totally don't understand what you're talking about? What does that mean?
A rouge is when you kick the ball into the end zone and it's not returned out of the end zone. You get 1 point for that. And that's an old rule that kind of football inherited from rugby, and as the American game evolved, they dropped that rule, but the Canadians kept it. Hugh Gall in that game had 8 rouges, and that remains a Grey Cup record to this day.
I mean,
that was the turning point. They kicked the ball into the end zone 8 times, and that they got 8 points out of that, and that was the And Hugh Gall also got a touchdown on an end run on a sweep on that game. So
that's ridiculous. I would have broken my Microsoft Surface after that game. I would have been so mad.
Yeah, in 1909. Another cool Grey Cup fact is that the first Grey Cup was played for in 1909. But if you look at the Grey Cup, the 1908 Hamilton team is engraved on the Grey Cup as champions. And the reason is because in 1915, when Hamilton won the Grey Cup, they decided, because they were bitter that they won the national championship before the Grey Cup was brought in, they went and added their own team in 1908 to the Grey Cup, and nobody noticed that it was there until 1953. Somebody went back and was like, oh my God, the 1908 Hamilton team is here. How did they get on? And they just snuck it on, and it just went on and on.
That's awesome. I want to tell my own Grey Cup story. I was at the Toronto Expo one year and was doing a show, and Footloose was there. And they brought any trophy that was in the house there, and the Grey Cup was there, and it was on the table. I still don't have a picture of the Grey Cup to this day. I don't know why. I never took one of it. It's like the only trophy I don't have, and I really like it. But so the Grey Cup's on the table, and then someone says, hey, we're going to look at this. And, you know, we're like, yeah, okay. It seemed like he was a person that knew what he was doing. And then, like, 10 minutes later, guy who runs the show, Al Sinclair, is up on the – he's on the PA. He's like, if anybody's seen the Grey Cup, can they please return it to to the front table? The Grey Cup went missing.
That's classic.
It was great. It really was great, because it's not like we were watching it. We were doing a show, but, you know, it was good.
Yeah.
All right, we got 60 seconds. What else?
Sure.
What else, Grey Cup?
Okay.
Trivia.
1912. Trivia. This is a good one. Okay.
Okay.
There have been 4 stadiums that have ever hosted a Canadian Football League playoff game and a Major League Baseball playoff game.
Okay.
And can you name the stadiums? And that's our trivia question for this week.
That's our trivia question for this week. I like it.
And before we go, a shout out to the Laurier Golden Hawks. They were down by 21 points to Western in the Yates Cup, which is the oldest football trophy in the world, the Yates Cup.
Whoa, but maybe CSE Games wants to say something about a Black Friday push. Why are you hogging hugging the man's time.
Because I just want to give a shout out to
ahead,
CIS.
Fellas.
Congratulations, Laurier. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
CSE Games will have something for Black Friday. Thank you, Russ. Check us out on Amazon.com. Yeah, and Amazon.ca. We'll have some stuff going on. So, thank you for remembering that.
It's a very important time of the year for that, and we always support our friends. And so, this week's games looks like it's pretty exciting. We got BC Calgary, Edmonton, Ottawa. I will catch one or both. I'm going to try and DVR. Not PVR. I really don't know why it's called PVR in Canada. It's a DVR. But you guys always have to make it different, so it's fine.
That's right.
It can't just be the same.
Yeah.
Weather should be the same.
What's it called?
Money should be the same. Time
zones. We can record
things
half an hour earlier in Newfoundland than you can, Russ.
Our show in Newfoundland will be on at 9:45 tonight. I just want to let everybody know so they can set their sundial to that. So that's it for 20-yard end zone, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Hi. I'm Dave, co-founder of Life's Kitchen, and we cater high-profile events all over the place. Sometimes, my office is here.
Service! Or here.
And occasionally, here.
You have the power to be ready for anything. We have business broadband with a free backup Wi-Fi dongle so you're always connected. Search Vodafone Business. Vodafone. Power to you.
Free broadband dongle included on Vodafone Superfast Fibre and Phone Premium packages.